Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
This evening's sermon, I've titled A Meeting to Look at the Future. If we could turn to Lamentations 3, verse 1 to 22. I am the man who has seen the afflictions by the rod of his wrath. He has driven me away and made me walk in darkness rather than light. Indeed, he has turned his hand against me again and again all day long. He has made my skin and my flesh grow old. And he has broken my bones. He has besieged me and surrounded me with bitterness and hardship. He has made me dwell in darkness like those long dead. He has walled me in so that I cannot escape. He has weighed me down with chains. Yeah. Even when I call out for help, he shuts out my prayer. He has barred my way with blocks of stone. He has made my paths crooked. Like a bear lying in wait, like a lion in hiding, he dragged me from the path and mangled me and left me without help. He drew his bow and made me the target for his arrows. He pierced my heart with the arrows from his quiver. I became the laughingstock of all my people. They mock me in song all day long. He has filled me with bitter herbs and sated me with gall. He has broken my teeth with gravel. He has trampled me in the dust. I have been deprived of peace. I have forgotten what prosperity is. So I say, my splendor is gone, and all that I had hoped for from the Lord. I remember my afflictions and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I remember them, and my soul is downcast with them. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassion never fails. I think I have mentioned this previously. Lamentations in Afrikaans is called Klaagliedere, which literally means complaining songs. And reading that verse, it's pretty much nothing else but complaining. But let us imagine a situation. You open your door. There's post at your front door. You pick it up and you start sifting through it. Thankful there's no more bills within it because everything's online these days. And in between all the local takeaway menus, you find an invitation. It's a bit of a strange one. It's an invitation from a friend of yours to discuss the future. You arrive on the day at your friend's house. He opens the door. He welcomes you in, but has somewhat of a somber face. Very formally, he says to you, come in, sit down, we've already started. As you enter the room, there are other people as well. Some of your friends, people long forgotten, neighbors, and even other members of the congregation. Your friend says, sit, let us talk about the future. One of the elderly people opposite you starts speaking. With his head in his hands, he almost mumbles, and you really have to lean in to hear what he's saying. How can I still believe when you look at the state of the world? Wherever you open a newspaper, there's nothing but doom and gloom. Things are dark out there, he says. There is no more hope left. It would appear that God is making the world darker by the day. One of the younger members in the room also speaks up. It feels like I've become the Lord's target. As everything that I do just goes wrong. I've become a laughingstock. At work, they just mock me because I can't get anything right. You're taken by surprise when a female friend suddenly speaks up. You didn't notice her earlier, but you can hear there's great bitterness in her voice. Why am I still alive? What do I have to live for? My only child was killed by robbers. The worst part is, it wasn't even his fault. He was just doing his job as a police officer. So, if everything is with God's and within his power, then surely I must believe that it is God's that killed him. Thus, it is God that makes me chew rocks, breaking my teeth. So I ask, what do I still live for? What future is there for me without my son? While you're still busy sort of picking up your jaw from what you've just heard, your friend turns to you and asks, so, I've known you for many years. What do you say to these things? What do you say about the future? How are you experiencing life? What would your answer be if you were sat in that room? But before we all jump up and try and answer it, let us reflect on the scene played out just now. Is the scene really that far-fetched as it first would appear? As the same things that has just played off in the room was happening to the Israelites many years ago in biblical time, especially during the time of Lamentations. So, what is the speaker of Lamentations on about? Well, he's talking about God's people, his favorite people. Although it would not appear this way, that they are God's people, favorite people anymore. They are sat in exile, removed from their land by the Nebuchadnezzar's great war machine. Their temples have been destroyed. They have no king in place, thus no political power. They are under the rule of foreigners. Their culture has been destroyed. The Israelites fell dead, as they had lost everything. Yes, they are still alive, but just. The question asked and mulled on by the Israelites are the same question we ask today. Yeah. What do I live for? What does the future hold? Is there something to look forward to towards the future? Can we hope? Or is it just something that we ask, as in verse 18, I cry out, my splendor is gone. Everything I had hoped for from the Lord is lost. Finished with hope in the Lord, surely that is not possible. As this is the worst place I reckon any Christian could ever be. Yes, life has a tendency to throw us the odd curveball and put us under pressure. But yet, we always seem to go on. As the saying goes, if the world pushes down on you, the best place to be is on your knees. We get confirmation from the Lord every day. And we experience his presence again and again, receiving his grace. And then we are ready to face the world and tackle it with all that he's given us. With all that, if our thoughts have already turned against God, thinking, Why are we going on? We look towards the future, but if we start the day with the thought that it is truly finished with hope in God, then surely we have lost the battle of the day before we even started it. The room will be dark. There will be no joy. Life would have left us. We would be dead in our hearts, dead to the world. If you read Lamentations 3 verse 1 to 20, it would appear that this is indeed the case, that all is lost. As there is nothing left for the people to say once they've lost the faith in God, because God is not there anymore. It would have seemed that there is even no more place for the church as in their hearts. The one truth about the past is this. It's played out. It's done and dusted. We can do nothing about it if we keep trying to build the future on things that have disappointed us or upon our past failures. Then we will keep on failing. Yes, learn from the past, but don't dwindle on it. Be Because if we do, we lose sight of the future and what it brings. So, is there hope for the future? Okay, no takers. Yes, there is, even in the darkness. And we do not have to search for it, as the answer is given to us within the scripture we've just read. The author of Lamentations does find something to make a heart sing, to reignite the flame within, even if the world is a dark place, full of suffering and difficult situations. If you think about it, the Israelites were a nation that has angered God quite severely in the past, yet he's never destroyed them. Think of the time when they worshipped the calf, the golden calf. God had the full right to destroy them, but he didn't. And this we can learn from him, keeping our eye on the ball. And as verse 22 says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. We are still alive. Where there is life, there is hope. As a person that is alive is someone that can look towards tomorrow.
Yeah.
Even dream of tomorrow. We can lay tomorrow and perhaps the day after at the Lord's feet. The Lord's love is new every day. That the Lord's love will carry me through day by day, even if we break it down into seconds or minutes. Because of God's love that carries us in all situations, even if we don't think so at this point in our lives. Well, Jeremiah saw this in that situation that they were in. For that, I'm surely, was worse than our current situations could ever be. So, how will we achieve this great love? Is it just mere words? Or is it just rumors? Maybe you think it's just something that I want to read into the text verse. But I don't think it is. Because if you put it into perspective, that is what makes the Bible such a wonderful thing. It gives us perspective of situations. Throughout the Bible, we find people that have been in the same, if not more difficult situations. Whenever we read the text within the Bible, we realize it's all about perspective of the situation. The way we look at things, where we stand. That was the fault with the people sat in the lounge. They might have thought that they were talking about the future, but in all honesty, they did nothing more than dwindle on the past. They looked at the dark past and not the future light. Thus, losing sight of the future. They even judged God in the process. The author of Lamentations did reflect on that, but he also looked towards the future. In a moment of clarity, his chains were broken, and the now broken off, and he could start looking towards the future, dared even to look towards the future. But what did he see in the future? He saw God. He saw the light. He saw life. He started to think about tomorrow. He was willing to give God a chance. And therefore he started to dream for a better tomorrow. Yeah. So you see, it doesn't matter what the situation is or who we try to blame. There is one fact that we'll never be able to get past. God has always been there. In the past, he gave us days. He carried us on his love. Something we can never forget. We will not perish. This is the fact. Because God is eternal, he will always be there for us. God has not changed. We as humans are the ones that constantly want to change, looking at the next new thing, and thus losing sight of God. And therefore, I have hope for tomorrow. Look back upon your life and all the difficult situations. God was there. As Stephen said the other week, the footsteps, when you look back upon your life, God's the one that said, I carried you through those situations. And that's why God got us through in the end, because of his great love. Unlike Jeremiah, we have the privilege to look back onto the cross on the mountain, seeing Jesus there, dying for our sins, bridging the gap between us and God, so that never again there will be distance between us. Because the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassion never fails. They are new every morning. Great is our faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those who hope, whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. For the Lord is good. His love endures forever. In faithfulness continues through all generations. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning.